The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We're finally back on the death lineup to talk about some Warriors basketball. And if you thought we waited until the Warriors started playing better, you are absolutely wrong, because they are not playing better. They are the definition of average, which has been a theme in Bay Area sports of late, because I kept saying that about the Giants, and then the 49ers had a bad season. The Warriors were supposed to save us, but it is January 11th. And the Warriors are 19-19. How excited are you when you see a Warriors game on the schedule and you're like, all right? Or are you like, do I really have to watch this? Like, where are you with this team right now?
Like, so not excited at all. I feel like it's been kind of hinted in some of the articles that I've been seeing and some of the podcasts that I've been seeing. Everyone kind of thinks that, like, they're in, like, a really tough spot in terms of, you know, that discussion of, like, do we give everything for Steph and try to, you know, go all in just for the last couple years that he has? What do we do conversation? And it kind of seems like everyone who's gone through that, like, mental exercise has left it being like, they can't really do anything. and I think where they are right now, specifically right now without Jonathan Kuminga, you know, a lot of injuries, I think they're less than average. I think they're worse than average. I think average is giving them more benefit of the doubt than they are. I think they're, what, like, 1-3 in their last four, and they've looked really bad. I understand that the Indiana Pacers one was without a lot of people. But even that, you know, Sacramento, Miami one where, you know, you don't have De'Aaron Fox, and obviously Jimmy Butler's, like, suspended from the Heat. But then I think they snuck one against a tired Pistons team on a back to back. Like, and then you have, like, the Gui Santos performance. But other than that, like, I think they're pretty underwhelmingly below average right now. And I think in order to become average or above average, like, it unfortunately just relies on Stephen Curry to, like, hit another level, and quite frankly, kind of seems like he's not, like, that super interested in doing that. So that's kind of where I am right now with them.
You mentioned Steph, and if you know, no one around these parts is going to say anything about his play because he's been so heroic in the past. But if you just look at his numbers compared to last year, so last year he was at 26.4 points a game. He made 4.8 threes per game, and he shot 40% from three, 41%. The three-pointers, which my eye test would have said, the three-pointers are down, his percentage is down. It actually isn't. He's very on par for last year as far as three-point shooting. He's taking a tick less, but that could be because he's playing about a minute less than he did last year. The thing that he's not doing, though, he's not making as many two-pointers. So his points per game is down from 26.4 to 22.6 this season. And that is not really explainable by the other stats. You know, when I talked about the minutes, his shooting percentage is pretty much on par for last year overall. Free throws are slightly up. Like, he's shooting free throws like the best that he's ever shot them since 2010. Rebounds up from last year, assists up from last year, steals up from last year. Turnovers are slightly up from last year as well. So just like on the surface of the numbers, you're like, everything is the same, except he's not making as many two-pointers. So that's the reason for his drop-off in points per game. But the other thing that you have to mention is the injuries, right? They're downplaying these knee injuries, the tendonitis or whatever they're calling them, for both knees. But the fact is that they are playing him. They are selectively resting him. And they're selectively resting him in games that they probably feel like they would lose even with him. So it's not a net loss. And you're actually going after the game, like you said, the Pistons. They just decided, look, the Pistons are an easier game for, or a better chance that we're going to win this game if we're full strength than if we're going to win in Indiana on the back-to-back. So all of that makes sense. But Steve Kerr's comment about, this is just our reality with older players. We just are going to have these games where, you know, this is the Adam Silver version of the NBA that people hate, right? The waving of the white flag. Like, okay, they had 10 players yesterday. Quentin Post comes up from the G League and he has to play because they just don't have any answers to Indiana's big men. So when you talk about being average, I agree with you that they're probably slightly below average, but there are cases in which they're going to chase games to get back to average. So I think they're a 500 team. And what changes that? I don't know, you know. And now with Kuminga, and this will be really our first talking point of the show, which is Jonathan Kuminga being out. What do you think Kuminga is thinking right now as he watches them just really being unable to score? Not that they were able to score with him, but I mean, he's definitely missed on the court just as a plan B for what happens when we don't get this shot out of this set. Oh, we can at least throw it to JK and he may be able to create something.
I don't know what Jonathan is thinking in his head, but I know what his agent is thinking. And I bet he's like salivating and like, this guy's about to get paid. But it's interesting because like, even at the start of the year, it feels like they weren't necessarily utilizing him as much, yet they were going on these tremendous runs and winning a lot of games. And then we hit that wall and then it was more reliant on him. And now that he's not here, kind of feels like the walls are crumbling. So it's like this weird, you know, situation of not needing him, now needing him, and completely different results. I mean, they definitely need him right now, and what he's thinking is probably the same. Is like, they need me and I'm injured, and yeah.
You know, the thing about the so the Pistons game, which they did win, though the Pistons, if they had maybe two more minutes, would have probably come back and taken that game. The Indiana game, I kind of had figured out that they had lost the game before I watched it, but I still wanted to watch it because I knew that we were doing this show. And I thought, as I was watching, I was like, okay, Schroeder is going to want to prove that Steph is out. I can kind of manage and organize this team and maybe I'll be more aggressive and kind of take over. He did not. Then I thought, you know, Moses Moody has been out for a while. This is a good game for Moses to show that, hey, like, you know, you put me in there and you can rely on me. No, he missed so many three-pointers. And then you're looking at, like, what are the other opportunities? Who else is out there? And you sort of count all the players. You're like, TJD, well, we know what he's going to give them. He's going to give them rebounds, but he's also going to pump fake and dribble and they're going to steal it. And he's going to have, you know, he's going to lose the ball and he's going to get a shot block. Like, we know all of those things too. So there's a positive and a negative. And then you're like, well, Kyle Anderson, they don't even have plans for Kyle Anderson until games like this. So you're not super excited about that.
Yeah. And I think when Kuminga, right before he went down, I think there was like a report that, you know, Kerr shortened the rotation and that's been helping Jonathan. I think when he shortened it, that was kicking Kyle Anderson out of the rotation, right? Mm-hmm. When he shortened it to 9 instead of 10, like that was like, okay, Kyle, you're not playing anymore.
It was Kyle and Kevon and Lindy going to the bench. And we'll see what happens with GP and Pods when those guys come back. And so then you look at who's on the bench who may actually do something, and you're like, well, you know, Gui Santos played great against the Pistons. I was happy to see. He played really good against Pacers, too. He actually did.
Yeah.
But outside of that, there was like no hope. I was like, oh, Pat Spencer, nice guy. Like, that's what, and this is no shade at him. He's not going to be a top eight rotation guy just in this league unless he, I was kind of thinking like, man, Pat should cozy up to TJ McConnell and just go, have we been doing this all these years? Because they kind of have similar games. Pat's is a very, very, very poor man's version, but you see the same thing. Like, there's a moment in the game where TJ goes underneath the hoop because he doesn't want to get his shot blocked, but then he goes to a spot where he can kind of fade away and hit like a 5-footer off the backboard. And then Pat did the same thing like later in the game. I was like, oh, I wonder if he just watched what TJ did and was like, oh, I can do that too. But like, there was no hope. That was my major takeaway against this Pacers game where,
yeah, exactly.
In the past, you go, okay, Steph is out. Well, which one of these players, these young players, are going to say, okay, it's my time. I'm going to show you. JK was out. Moses Moody, he was the only one. And then Pajemski was out. And so it was just like there was no hope for them to do anything with that game. So that was my major takeaway. And it's just, you know, Wiggins, another personal matter that they're very tight-lipped on. So you don't know. You assume it's family related. You just hope that he's doing okay. But it's not like it's an injury, right? Like if it's an injury, you're kind of like, okay, like at least we know there's a timetable. I don't, you know, there's crazy natural disasters going on in this world, so I don't even want to assume anything, but Wiggins has been out over the last 2 years because of family matters, personal matters, and he's out again. And there's no timetable as to when he's going to be back. They just said like a couple games. And Steph and Draymond hurt, Kuminga hurt, Pajemski hurt, GP, who I don't think really figures into their plans, also hurt. If you're a fan and you just said you were not looking forward to this game, I can't imagine anyone's like, the NBA, it's fantastic. Like when you roll out a team like that.
Well, how did Quinton Post look? That'd be like the only thing, like him and Gui Santos is like me, you know, really just being a big Warriors fan, just wanting to see those two perform. How did Quinton Post play?
He comes in the game and they start running the action where he starts at the top and he's basically setting screens for the ball handlers, and they pass it over to the other ball handler and they set the screen. And so that's what he was doing. He missed his first shot, which was a free throw line jumper, back rimmed it. And then off of that, I think it was off of that similar action, they found him at the top of the key. He buried one. He had a floater or a short shot that kind of bounced off the back rim and then the backboard and went in, made a free throw. You recognize that, oh, they had like a tall guy who wanted to shoot from the outside. You definitely recognize that, which is great. But do I think he's going to be playing next to Draymond and be, you know, the solution to these shooting problems? Probably not, though. I'll tell you what, you know who I would rather see him in there than in moments like that, not defensively, obviously, but is someone like Looney, right? Looney bogs down the offense. It's like, give Quinton Post 3 minutes with Draymond and see what that looks like. But it's probably not in their plans because they have so many guys. But maybe if you do make
a trade. At this point, though, it's just like, yeah, I mean, there you go. And it's like, we're, you know, that little stinginess of, you know, we can't do this because of that. Like, that doesn't really go over well when you're like under average, you know. It's like, okay, well, who are you trying to, you know, not upset here? Like, we suck. But that's where I think that you can do the Steph, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond lineup is if you have a shooting center. And that's why I proposed like Vucevic a couple weeks ago. But yeah, of course, I'm not going to put any eggs in a Quentin Post basket. But if there is a shooting center, we do have a 7-footer who is supposed to be able to shoot on this roster. And that would be interesting to at least get a look at a deeper setting. But yeah, no, I think the no hope thing is completely how I've been feeling. But you know, last year I feel like the theme of our podcast was just like, okay, it's a lazy take, but they need a number two, they need a number two, they need a number two, and you know, it's kind of the same position. And I held strong, you know, while they were playing well this year. I was like, I don't believe it, they need a number two. And then I gave in and I said, I don't think they'll be below a 6 seed, like they're playing that well. And then they started sucking. And then now it's clear, yeah, they need a number two. But again, it's a lazy take, but that nothing's going to look better until, you know, you have someone who can take the load off of Steph in a way that, you know, only probably 50 players in the league can do. Not even that many.
Here's a question, because JJ brought this up, and JJ always brings up this up in chat every time the Warriors suck. If they only didn't trade Jordan Poole, right? That's his qualifier for what you're basically saying, which is they don't have a ball handler. No one can create their own shot. And what happens when Steph comes out of the game? The offense just kind of, you know, stalls. And JJ would say, JJ, your brother, my son, he would say, well, they had one and they traded him for Chris Paul. And you probably had to trade him because of the animosity on the team. If you were going to pay Draymond to stick around, you probably could not have had both of those guys on the same team. But at the same time, would a Jordan Poole 2025 YOLO version on the Wiz be an answer or a solution to this current Warriors team?
They wouldn't make him a contender. He would make them probably what I said before they started sucking. It's like, I don't think they'll be below the 6 seed. I think if Jordan Poole is on this team, that would hold true. I think he's a lot of what they're missing in terms of, you know, we talk about all these players who are out and injured. Jordan is someone who usually is able to play at least 72 games a year, maybe more. So that is definitely something that, you know, they need. But, you know, he's someone who, yeah, he is in a lot of ways someone who could be very, very beneficial to them right now. But yeah, no, not like this contending difference maker. It would be him plus stuff. But, you know, of course, like, yeah, the letting him go wasn't like a decision of like it was just because of the punch. Like that was that's why they chose between Draymond and JP. They knew that that situation was irreparable and they had to choose between Draymond and JP, and then they chose Draymond, and we'll see down the line if that, you know, if they ended up choosing Jordan Poole, you know, maybe things look different. But again, I know how big of a deal it would have been, a bad look. There was no winning that one.
You know, it's funny because you think about Jordan Poole and you go, yeah, you know, but do you know the Wizards are the single worst team in the NBA right now? They have 6 wins.
They're pretty bad, but I wouldn't even say like all of it's.
No, it's not all. I mean, I think they're trying, but he should be part of the solution, right? At least.
Yeah, they just have a lot of young players who like get the tag raw, which just means like they're not good right now, but they hopefully will be. And I think they're 3 top young players, and Koulibaly, Alex Saar, and Bub Carrington all kind of have that tag, who I believe in all 3 of them. But yeah, if they're playing substantial minutes, it's probably not a winning basketball team, and it shows.
This
Pistons team was the same like last year, right? Yeah. Like this Pistons team was like, you know, kind of on that level of terribleness, and here they are now, just, you know, more tape, more time on the floor together.
You know who Cade Cunningham reminds me of?
Who?
He reminds me of the Sean Livingston who played for the Warriors, but obviously more athletic at that point in his, like, but that's the game that he has, is that like he can
I think it's just that
guard.
Slow pick and roll. It's that really slow, methodical pick and roll where you like kind of slowly get to the free throw range and you kind of have them on your hip and then you're able to like shoot over it. Like Sean Livingston, CP does that a lot. Luka does that a lot. That's when I first watched him. I wasn't a believer until like year two. Of course, he was the first pick overall, but I think year two when I started to like try to follow the Pistons, I was like, holy crap, guys, like this guy's really good. And I think a lot of people jumped off the bandwagon or the Cade, you know, believing in him because he was just getting injured a lot and the Pistons sucked.
Yeah,
but no, that guy's going to be an MVP candidate, MVP caliber player at some point in his career. I'll stand by that.
I really hope.
Sean Livingston?
I really hope for Detroit's sake that they continue to make smart decisions around him so that they put players around him that will be helpful. Cause you know, Detroit hasn't been, a contender since like Kobe and the Lakers were going at them from what I can remember. And that was a long time ago. So, I watched that game and I was like, okay, I know the Warriors are going to win this game, but he is very impressive and he is very mature as a young player, and you like the fact that he's got the ball. Like, you know, I think people would say that Shea is a better player, and I think Shea is a better player, but both of those guys are sort of similar in that they're young, they're point guards, they have the ball, and you trust them with the basketball, which is not what you feel when you watch someone like Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole's a little bit different, but that is more of the mold.
Yeah, yeah. He's like high risk, high reward.
Right. So, anyway, so I wanted to go back to the Warriors being the epitome of a 500 team. They are a plus 0.4 in point differential. They are 19-19, which you already mentioned. You know what? When I was looking at some of these numbers, the thing that I didn't realize is if you have the lead in the first half of an NBA game, your percentage of winning that game is like 80% or something. It's like insane. I just figured with the 3-point line that stat was a little bit more varied. But like, for instance, like the Warriors are like 14-2 if they have the lead at halftime.
Where'd you find this?
Just NBA.com.
Oh, wow.
NBA.com. If you go to their standings tab, they have sections, and then they break up a lot of the stuff into different categories, and that's what I saw. But just so more reason for the Warriors being 500. They are 14-13 in the conference. They are 10-10 at home, 9-9 on the road. So, like, it doesn't even really matter. Like, you would think, like, oh, you know, but if you've been watching, like we have, I don't feel like they have any sort of home court advantage. It doesn't matter that they play at home. Sometimes they almost look more embarrassing at home, I feel like. So, they have to figure out how to do something to change that, because if you play 500 basketball in this market, even with Steph Curry, it's tough to get the eyeballs. I think more fans will pay attention to the 49ers offseason than to a sleepy Warriors team. So hopefully they will do something. But that's my third talking point, is what move is out there to shake things up to get people to pay attention to the Warriors again?
Nothing.
Well, you and JJ mentioned a guy. I've heard this guy's name bandied about. His name is Zion.
We're probably the only ones that have said it in a Warriors context. I haven't seen anyone say it in a Warriors context. But I think our main point in that text chat was like, you're not going to do anything. There's no move out there that makes you feel good, that makes you feel like, you know, like where every move you make, there's going to be a lot of risk, specifically where the Warriors are at right now, because they're not at a winning position. They don't have leverage in any of these deals. So any deal they make is going to make us feel a little uneasy based on how many picks they give up or how many players they have to give up in order to reach a certain number for a salary. So everything is like, there's no move out there again that's going to make you feel like, oh, we didn't give up that much. And oh, this player is like, you know, we're sure about this player. No, it's going to be, you know, giving up Brooklyn has high leverage. If you want Cam Johnson, might even take two first round picks based on how many people want that guy. Jimmy Butler, it's like, okay, it's going to be picks, Wiggins, and you know, you might not even guarantee that you have that guy, you know, that much in the regular season. He wants an extension. So me and JJ were like, well, what about Zion Williamson? And of course we're not in the Pelicans mix, so I don't know where he stands with them right now. I do know that he just got suspended for being out too late in Philadelphia. I do know that he gets an injury about every season that takes him out for at least 35 to 40 games.
I think he's only played one season where he's like played over 60 games, and it was last year.
And it's like year two. I think it was his second. Oh, it was last year?
I think it was last year, yeah.
And so I think we were just saying, like, Zion's like, it's high risk, high reward. It's like, I don't know how much they value him, how much it would take to move off of him. I know they have very promising talent and like Trey Murphy, who they might be okay with saying, I don't know if Trey Murphy's going to be a one in his career, but he damn sure looks like he has all the tools to do it. But
if he's your number two and you have a really good number one, you feel good.
But then that kind of takes us away from our point where it's like, okay, you sure you don't feel good about Zion? And as like right now, but Zion at his best is a number one. I've seen it. And so I guess then, yeah, you maybe wouldn't feel good about moving off of him, but yeah, it would be like, okay, if you want to do the trade that doesn't make you feel good about it, let's double down on that because there is high risk, high reward potential here.
It doesn't sound like a Dunleavy-esque or a Bob Myers-ish kind of move. That's a move that you make when your town is just devoid of a superstar and you need something to sell tickets. And the Warriors have Steph, so you don't really have to do that. Though, I would love to see a version of Zion next to Draymond, but not only on the court, also off the court, like
behind
Draymond
scenes,
as the ultimate professional. Well, and some people would probably say, well, how is Draymond a professional? But Draymond, you know, Draymond plays. Draymond is an undersized four who has to also play center. And Draymond understands all of the tricks of the trade. Would Zion buy into it? I based on his his history, probably not. But that would be interesting to me to see Zion underneath Draymond. Now that they could also come to blows at the same time and it would just blow up in the Warriors' face. So that's why, you know, I think the risk in this case is higher than the reward. And it just doesn't sound Warriors-y. But you know, if you look at
Dunleavy hasn't made. I was just gonna say, I feel like Dunleavy hasn't, yeah, you're right. Like he hasn't made any, like there's been no risk in his offseason acquisitions, his draft picks, like, you know, he was behind the Pajemski, Trace Jackson Davis picks, and those were guys who were not freshmen and didn't really have like this high potential. It was kind of more like high floor. Pajemski a little bit, but then yeah, the offseason acquisitions and Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, Melton, and then, you know, the trade for Schroeder. We didn't give up a first round pick. It was just like a second and Melton. And like, you know, yeah, there hasn't been any high risk trades. Like the CP one, like you had to do it. You had to do something.
The CP was a by the book, like cap management / smart GM money ball maneuver. Like that's what that was.
No, I wouldn't even say smart GM money ball. I'd say smart GM understanding the locker room. Because if you look at that trade right now, they gave up Patrick Baldwin Jr. Sure. I don't know what he's doing over there. That's technically a first round pick in my opinion, because he was a first round pick like that year. And then they also gave up like a 2030 first round pick or something like that. So that's already two firsts. And Ryan Rollins, sure, that guy's, you know, he's on the Bucks now. I don't know. And Jordan Poole for CP. Like you gave up two first round picks in JP for a guy who was here for a year and he didn't manage or use his expiring. So I'd say bad trade, but good trade, if that makes sense. Like you had to, but like I'm still not that impressed.
So the last point here would be, do you do a Band-Aid trade like the Vucevic thing and just see what it looks like if you open up the floor more with a stretch five? Does that open up Steph more? Does that change the dynamics of your offense? Can you play faster? Can you actually, you know, score and get in transition and, you know, not get locked up offensively so much. Do you do something like that to at least tell the fan base, like, yeah, like we're trying, even if there's no big home run there, here's like a, you know, an infield single to see if we can change the trajectory of this team a little bit.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, and I think it could be very Mike Dunleavy as well. If I, when I talk about like little risk, I don't think it would take that much to get that guy. And I think you do it. And I think that we have the conversation of like, well, Kuminga or Draymond in terms of starting. I don't think you need to have that conversation if you have a Vucevic, because I think Kuminga, you know, him not being a small forward in their eyes changes if you have a shooting five. So I think that he would be able to play next to Draymond if you had a shooting five. And I think Vucevic is having one of the best shooting years of his career. And then you could play Wiggins at the two. Like, I think you can make up for the deficiencies in defense. Not entirely, because of course a rim protector is just like the anchor of a defense, but I think you could do enough being able to play Wiggs, JK, and Dre, Steph, and Vucevic together. I would still do it. It's something I mentioned a couple weeks ago. Does it make him a contender? Probably not, but I think there could still be excitement. Like, I was listening to the Tim Bontemps on TK Pod. Did you listen to that one?
Yeah, he's funny. He's like, yeah. He's slightly curmudgeon-y. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Chris Mannix. I don't know if you heard of Chris Mannix at all, but
is Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, everything comes out negative, even though it's not really meant to be negative. It's just the way that he talks.
Yeah. I could see what he's saying from a national perspective, but again, I just go back to like, no one knows my team more than I do. Yeah. And he was just saying on and on and on and on and on about like, you watch that Cavs game, you watch that Cavs OKC game, like the Warriors can't hang with either of those teams. The Celtics, they can't hang with. And it's like, okay, well, they're 1-0 against the Celtics this year. Mm-hmm. You know, every game they've played against OKC in the past 2 years has been close, and they've won, you know, one or two of them. And no, I think those teams are definitely a class ahead of the Warriors, but I still think the Warriors have that veteran savviness of, we've been here before, we know how to get it done. And they could sometimes pull some out against those teams. And that's why I just think you give them enough and they might be able to do something with it. And, you know, he just kept saying, like, I think you do absolutely nothing. And I think that, you know, it's almost like, appreciate what you had. But at the same time, I'm like, I think there still is potentially someone and it's something to do. And I think one of the other things he said was like, well, you know, you hear these fans that are like, you know, you need to maximize Steph, you know, he's done so much. And then he was saying like, those are going to be the same fans that are like, in 4 years, like, why can't we do anything? Why do we suck? I'm like, well, if you're the GM, you don't care about those fans. You can't, like, if those fans are on your mind, the fans that are like mad when the thing they wanted, it ends up being bad. Like, what are you doing? But anyway, of course he has some good points. Like, I think they really are, like, I don't think there is like a realistic move out there that can make them a contender. I really don't, but I think there are some things that you can do that wouldn't be too bad that can put you in a better spot. Or, you know, there is that risky move that JJ and I were talking about that, mm-hmm. Hell, I don't know if I almost would say it could be like light years, like a light yearsy move if it works out. And not necessarily like we're devoid of clicks right now. We need a star in our area. It could be like we're betting on that guy. You know, he hasn't really had like a good vet in his corner. I mean, I'm talking about Zion here, but like, you know, you talk about the Draymond thing off the court in the locker room, and then you talk about like the reason Melton chose to come here because of Rick Celebrini. Yeah, it's not going to prevent injuries, but maybe you could fix something long term, like it did with Otto. And actually, Otto wasn't.
The only time he ever played any amount of games in his career was that 1 year with the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. So
the Zion, the other thing about the Zion thing is the perception that Golden State is a top franchise that free agents would want to go to. I don't know if it exists, because if you take on Zion, you are having to trade for him, and you're basically saying he is someone that we have to fix versus he is someone who is in his tip-top prime who wants to play with Steph. That's a completely different conversation. So just from the sort of the perception of things, that's also why I don't think that they would do it. But all right, let's...
Yeah, I mean, you just look at like... You just really quick, though, you just like look at who could even potentially, what type of guy is available to get. Like, I think it's a pretty dried up trade deadline this year. Like, okay, you go through the list and it's like Jimmy Butler, really old, doesn't play in the regular season, like would take a lot to get him, you know, maybe not worth it. You just keep going down and down and down. It's like, well, okay, well, I guess I wouldn't, when I think of a player to add to this team, I'm like, okay, old, aging superstar who's kind of on his way out, but you know, wants to get one last ring. And I think the Zion one was just interesting to think of, because it's like, oh, this is actually like a young player, like a young guy who you know, just seems a little, hasn't found it yet. And I don't, it's just, yeah, shot in the dark risk type of idea.
All right, let's move on to some women's college basketball talk here. Valley. All right. So over the holiday break, we got to see UCLA, who are, they're still the number one team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see them.
They lost.
Lauren Betts did not play, unfortunately for us, but just seeing her stand up and next to everyone, she's so giant compared to everybody else. But we did get to see Kiki Rice, who was pretty awesome in person, I thought. Just, you know, we talked about the Cade Cunningham, like just very organized, and never thought that she was going to make a mistake. Like everything she did, you thought, yep, that's the right decision. Like just so smart. So that was really fun seeing UCLA play. But has there been anything in women's college basketball of late that has sparked your interest as far as it, as the Valkyries draft is concerned?
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of, so I think when the college year started, I added, you could do this thing where you go to like their, you know, a specific team's schedule and you can add that to your calendar. So it'll put like every single game they play in your like Apple calendar, which is kind of cool. I'm sure NBA's teams do this too. I've just never looked at it. But so I have all of LSU's, and this is all from a Valkyries perspective. So I added South Carolina's roster to start the year, schedule to my calendar, UCLA's, USC's, Maryland's, NC State, and Arizona, because of course I went there. And I think there was one more team. But anyway, I've been watching a lot of Maryland. I started the year watching Maryland. I stopped watching them for a little bit because I started the year with high ambition of like, I'm going to try to watch all these games. Then I started realizing like, oh, that's a lot. So now I'm trying to start to watch only like important ones, whether that be ranked games or just like, you know, prospect against prospect games. So Maryland just played against USC and Maryland was undefeated. But of course, USC's lost to Notre Dame and they have Juju and Kiki Arifin. And Cheyenne Sellers for Maryland. We talked about her a little bit on this podcast before the college basketball year started. And she's just someone who I'm like, wow, like just two-way, you know, kind of big guard, kind of could do everything, maybe not elite at one specific thing, but kind of has like that dribble pass shoot, can do everything when she gets the ball in her hands. And then of course the two-way aspect. And I'm like, I really think that she would be interesting, an interesting fit on this Valkyries team, who, of course, we really know nothing about, even in this expansion draft. I keep getting the sense of, like, I wonder really how much people we, how many players we hold on to from that. But yeah, I think Shion Sellers has been someone. If you guys, you know, I told you to watch that USC Maryland game. I don't know if you did. I have it recorded if you want to watch it. But, you know, I would keep an eye on that Maryland team because they're going to play UCLA. And I'm not going to say they're going to win that game. I just think from a Shion Sellers perspective, she is someone who I think, you know, could be a Valkyrie, of course. And I've been very intrigued in watching.
When is that UCLA Maryland game?
I think it's the 23rd of January. I think I know the date because I think I just looked it up. Yeah, so I'm going to see NC State versus Stanford tomorrow in person at Stanford. And NC State has Saniah Rivers, who keeps getting like the label of like super raw prospect, which is, yeah, again, kind of means like they're not good right now, but they show flashes. And so I'm really, I've always been interested in Saniah Rivers. And who else? Sorry, my headphones just died. I'm trying to put on another one here. Let's see if that connects. Yeah. But I guess I think from the women's basketball perspective, the interesting news right now is the Unrivaled thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's starting up next Friday, I believe, games start. And then it's been such an interesting, like, I don't know if you follow them on Instagram or Twitter, but I feel like they're just like killing this like marketing thing like to another level. It just looks like a fun thing to be a part of. And they started doing like press conferences, and they're even getting like nuggets from that, where Dallas's Satu Sabali announces in one of an Unrivaled press conference that she is not going to be returning to Dallas. And that's just like that sparked a lot of conversation. We'll see where she ends up. But yeah, I think the Unrivaled thing, the Satu Sabali thing, and then, you know, of course, college basketball is ongoing. That's kind of been the talk of the town lately.
So when we went to the UCLA, Stanford, Creighton, what do they call it? The Bay Area.
Visalign Bay Area Women's Classic.
Yeah. We did get to see a speech by their GM. And
oh, yeah.
Was there anything in there that she said that you thought was interesting? Or to me, it was a lot of just, you know, very positive PR stuff. Of course, that's what you want to do for this new league. You want to be very positive and get all your talking points out there. Ohema, I forgot her name. Did you get anything, any feel for her based off of that conversation that we saw?
I say this as a compliment, but I think she's like Steph Curry PR trained. They're so boring.
Yeah.
They give you nothing. They give you absolutely nothing, but they're doing it perfectly. Like, that's what they should be doing is like,
but she's, you know, only cool. She's very cool. Yeah. So it comes across as like very conversational and sort of hip. No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. And so you don't really, it's almost like you don't realize that she just gave you nothing because she made you feel good about what she said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get anything from that?
I think they understand it, but they realize how much fans are dialed in to not just the players, but also the machinations of behind the scenes and what the GM does and what the VP does and ownership and all that stuff. And some of that is due to the great reporting that we get out of the Bay Area for the basketball writers. And so sometimes it's almost like she's like, oh, you guys asked too many questions about like insider basketball stuff, which I'm not going to answer. But it is something that people are very in tune to out here, is they're very in tune to, you know, what Bob Myers did and how that related to Steve Kerr's job and, you know, what Joe Lacob wants, because Joe Lacob goes on podcasts and, you know, Tim Kawakami asks him questions and he answers them. So, you know, that side of it, I think that she should have an answer to that stuff instead of, I'm not going to talk about that because that is our strategy. Like, she should have a patented answer about it and, you know, about what do we look for? Like, I mean, you know, Natalie has her answer, which is, you know, we're looking for this type of player and,
you know, she even said that at her opening press conference, which is a lot of these players who we're going to have in the first couple of years aren't going to be with us when we do win a championship. That is brutal honesty, but I think fans eat that stuff up. So I think Ohemah herself should have a little bit more of a go-to line when it comes to those questions, whatever that is, you know, whatever that could be for her. But I think she should figure out how to answer that one a little bit better.
Yeah.
All right.
Last Valkyries news is that one of the players we drafted in the expansion draft, her name is Maria Conde. She is a Spanish. She plays for the Spanish national team. Selected 27th overall by the Chicago Sky in 2019. She got a leg injury, I believe, playing overseas, and she will be missing the entire season. So I wonder, again, this is I'm not too familiarized with WNBA contracts or how the CBA, you know, plays out, but I wonder if she takes up a roster spot, or they could do the, you know, I know there's a specific like type of contract or rights thing where like they don't necessarily take up a roster spot, but and I think it's specifically for like international players where they don't take up a roster spot, but that you still like have their rights per se. And I think that's the same for the NBA, because remember when like Nico Mannion was coming back, it's like, oh, the Warriors still technically own his rights. Like, what is how he hasn't been here for years, but I wonder how that's going to pan out, because I imagine if she has to be one of the 12, like I don't feel like she won't be on the team then if she's going to miss the entire year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's and what camp, I guess.
What I also wondered was, did they even expect her to come to play? Because she has not played in the WNBA, from what I understand.
Mm.
And so, like, did they draft her thinking like, yeah, you know, it's kind of like a chance. Maybe she will play. And if she does, then we'd love to have her. But there's also a high possibility that she won't. So I don't even know if she was in their plans necessarily. But yeah, she tore up her knee. That sucks.
Yeah.
All right. Last little bit here. We'll talk a little bit about the rest of the NBA. So the current standings show in the East, the Cleveland Cavaliers are 33-4. I don't know what that pace is, but they're like close to like the 70 win pace from my eyeballing of this number, which is nuts. And then on the other end, the Oklahoma City Thunder are 31-6, and they faced off this week in a pretty historic matchup in which the Cavs did win the game. I didn't even get to see it, and I was so bummed because I don't have League Pass. So I was like, oh, you know, I'll catch it on League Pass. Then I forgot. It's like, I don't have League Pass, so I missed recording it when it was on the broadcast, the original broadcast, so I never got to see the game. But
believe it or
like
not, this wasn't a nationally televised game.
It was not?
It was a nationally televised game.
Oh, yeah,
game.
That's why. That's why. When I didn't record it on my DVR, I thought, I'll just rewatch it when it's on League Pass. And then
I see.
I mean, I could always re-up League Pass for like $15 a month or whatever to watch it. But anyways, pretty historic matchup with the teams. You know, it's kind of like reminds you back of when the Warriors and the Cavs were heads and shoulders above the other teams in the league record wise, and then they would face off. But six losses and four losses, crazy runs by both teams. But do you still think that the sleepy Boston Celtics at 27-11, who still on a tremendous winning percentage number, do you still think that you would favor them over Cleveland in a 7-game series?
Yes, I still think the Boston Celtics are better. I think that, you know, they aren't your typical championship team where when some of these teams win a championship, like the next year, it's kind of like it's like we've already reached the mountaintop. Like, you know, they take on a different mentality, but Boston's still so young. I know they have Drew and Kristaps, who are, you know, I don't even know if Kristaps 30 yet, but you know, JT and Jaylen Brown.
His knees are 40 though.
True. But I think that I think they'll get there. I think that we'll be seeing them in May. But I think the question is, I'm still wondering in the West. I think OKC could definitely do it. I think I've also been correct on my just evaluation of how these young teams work in the NBA, where it's like, okay, your first go around, you finally make it to the playoffs. I think the most you usually get is like to the second round, and that held true with them last year. And so I guess we'll see this year if in their second year as in the playoffs as this young core, can they make it all the way? I think history probably says no. Like, conference finals is probably your ceiling, but I think there are definitely a team that can do it. I think Shea's that good. I think, you know, Chet will be back by then. I'm interested still in that Memphis team, because they've had like a really like not typical go about it, where they did the OKC, like, we've tried our hand, we beat the Warriors in the play-in, and then we went and lost to the Utah Jazz in the first round. That following season, we get to the second round and lose to the Warriors. That following season, we end up losing in the first round of the Los Angeles Lakers because we had a lot of injuries and a lot of weird stuff going on. The following year, it goes to hell, and they don't even make the playoffs because Ja Morant's suspended, then gets injured, everyone's injured. And then this year, they're back at it with, you know, last year they got to try out like a Gigi Jackson, Vince Williams Jr. A lot of guys got a lot of run, and then you kind of bring back the star pieces this time around. Like, they're a team that I'm interested in. Like, how far do they get in the playoffs? I would love to see this Memphis OKC rivalry of young teams. Like, that's a very intriguing matchup to me. But yeah, I think I'm not sure how much of a believer I am in the Knicks right now, but I think Boston and OKC are where I put a lot of my, I put a lot of stock in. I just think the Cavs thing, I think the main one, some of the main questions about them is like, can Donovan Mitchell be a number one, and how is their point of attack defense looking? Like, I think that still kind of remains a little unanswered, and that's been something they've been dealing with since they got Donovan, or even a year before when they had, you know, Mobley's rookie year. You know, I got to see a good portion of that game, and my question was like, okay, what are they going to do to deal with Shea? They had no answer. he just cooked. Shea went off. And I feel like if you know, there's such, I think defensive rating wise, I think they're probably still top three, but a lot of that has to do with just like Jarrett and Evan just completely locking down the rim. And it seems like if you have good perimeter scores, you could still like score on them. But you know, they're able to like still like provide this offensive punch that allows them to, you know, haymaker after haymaker in that OKC Cleveland game. So I still think that there's a flaw in not having like this point of attack guy that you feel like can be in the like a starter, because I think I actually don't even know for by heart who their starters are. I mean, I know,
you know, they, you them, know what I don't the Warriors know should do. The Warriors should just give them wig Gary Payton over to the Cavs and get some sort of pick back.
Yeah, he'd be sick for them. We'd just like almost like hand them, you know, at the minimum an Eastern Conference Finals appearance. Well, but yeah, I mean, Wiggins is exactly who they need. Wiggins would make them the Wiggins. I'd be like, they're winning the title.
Okay, I'm gonna
just
make
because
this
that's how I feel. Like, how go for it? I cut out.
I was gonna say, here's my prediction. Now, obviously, this all has to do with being healthy. And I think Boston is real, and not that they didn't realize it, but just repeating is hard. But you go so far into the playoffs to win that title. You play so many games. You put so much tread on the tires. We saw the offseason with Jaylen Brown and not getting on Team USA, probably getting his feelings hurt. Tatum not playing a lot on Team USA, probably getting his feelings hurt. And then you run it back. You bring in you have Porzingis theoretically for the whole year, and you try and run it back, but the problem is that there are things that happen during the season because you played so many games that could possibly be an issue. Porzingis gets hurt. I know a couple of, you know, they're selectively resting certain guys as well. You've seen Peyton Pritchard get a lot of run, but it's just hard. And the reason why it's hard is because you play all those games, you win, and now you get the target on your back. Now they're essentially, when you play the Boston Celtics, you're like, we want to beat the champs to show them that we're real. And Cleveland can kind of come in and be that dark horse team, and it really reminds me of the 2015 Warriors. It's obviously not the same style of team, but just the idea of like you have this young team that nobody really sees coming. And when you realize that they're real, it's almost too late. Like the rest of the league, it's almost too late for them to go, oh, maybe the Cavs are actually really good.
because everyone remembers that series in the first round last year in the playoffs where it's like them against the Magic and nobody could shoot. And I was like, I thought that they might be a little bit better than they were. But yeah, so I think the Cavs are actually gonna beat the Celtics. Now, if someone gets hurt, so be it. You know, that changes the dynamic. But I just think that there's like this thing where you realize sometimes too late that the team is actually for real. And then by then you're like, oh gosh, that it just passed us by. That was the 2015 Warriors. So all right. So our schedule, what we're gonna try to do is the days that the Warriors do not play on Thursday, we're going to try and record on Thursday. Some of that is just based on work and day job stuff. And on the days the Warriors play on Thursday, we may try and do something like this where we record on a Saturday morning or maybe on a Sunday. There's no 49ers anymore, so I don't have to worry about that Sunday schedule. But that's what we will attempt to do. I don't know that we'll be able to do it every single week, but we're going to try. And this week, starting tomorrow night, Rod and I are going to be back on We Want Winners to talk about already the stuff that has come out about the 49ers offseason. All of these rumors that Robert Saleh is going to come back and be the defensive coordinator, which is kind of crazy to me. And then on Tuesday, Brad and I will be back with Thompson to Clark. And we're going to talk about the Giants signing Justin Verlander. We'll see if it's a sad Brad or happy Brad, because his Rams play on Monday against the Vikings. If the Rams can pull this one out, I think we're going to see a happy Brad. And if not, then maybe a little bit more of a sad Brad. But so we'll have two more shows Sunday night and then Tuesday, our normal sort of 5:30 time frame on this network. And then Brian and I will try and be back on Thursday. Between now and Thursday, the Warriors have a game on Monday against the Raptors and on Tuesday against the Timberwolves, who are also kind of a disappointing team so far. They are 20-17, tied with the Clippers for seventh in the West. So who knew that losing Carl Anderson would be so tough? Carl Towns would be so tough.
I think what we should do for next pod is like, I think there's a real chance. Like, what? Okay, hold on. Before we get off here, do you have the schedule pulled up in front of you?
Uh huh.
Okay, so can you read off like the next five?
Okay, next five: Warriors Raptors in Toronto, Warriors Timberwolves in Minnesota. Then the Warriors come home against the Wizards, but they have like 3 days off. So it's like next Saturday against the Wizards. And then Monday night, Monday daytime against the Celtics at home and then at Kings on that next week.
Okay. I think what I was looking at then, or what I'm mostly interested in, is how they end this road trip, because mm-hmm. So a win against Detroit, a loss against Indiana, and then how they fare against Toronto and Minnesota. Toronto's supposed to be, you know, pretty bad team.
Yeah.
Very bad team. So, I mean, if they go, like, I'm just wondering, like, for the next podcast, there's a very real chance we could be talking about, our next podcast would probably be next Thursday, and then they would have played Toronto and Minnesota. Like, yeah. What if they really go 1-3 on this road trip? Like, I'm just wondering when what needs to happen to then have a conversation, but then where will that conversation go? Because we just talked about, we feel like they can't do anything. Like, I guess a 1-3 road trip is a very real possibility. I think a 2-2 is likely, but a 1-3 is a
the more that they lose. I think the more that they lose, there's going to be a balance. It is going to be the Vucevic-like trade just to Band-Aid things so that the fans don't get too crazy. But if you lose too many, then winning games would actually ruin draft possibilities. So I think there's a balance there. Now, I don't think the Warriors would ever say that, you know, they don't want to screw up their draft position this late in Steph and Draymond's career, but maybe secretly they may be having those conversations. Oh yeah, Steph and Draymond, we got to kind of save their bodies a little bit more. They're more hurt than we realize, whatever that conversation is. But if you win games, like let's say that they beat the Raptors, and the Raptors are like the second or third worst team in the league. It's like Wizards, Raptors, Pelicans. They all are like less than 10 wins.
But if you win, and then let's say they go into Minnesota and upset Minnesota, you come out of this road trip 3-1, you're two games over 500. Then they're talking themselves into, we just need to get JK back. We need to get Pods back. We need to get Wiggins back. We need to get Pajemski back. Like, to me, I would rather them do the Vucevic trade just so they could trade some more bodies so that Kerr doesn't have all these options on the bench to play or feel the need to get these guys in the get these guys in the rotation. Like, I want him to resist going like, GP, you got to come in. Like, we just need you. Like, I mean, it's great to have when you're a winning basketball team, but when you're an average basketball team, going to the GP card, it's just a Band-Aid. It's not a real fix, you know? And I think they need real fixes. And I don't know if you're going to know for this season who these guys really are. Like, maybe Schroeder is the guy who you go, you know what, we just got to get Dennis back in instead of going to the GP card. So I would like them to have more solutions rather than Band-Aids. Like, oh, all of a sudden we're unorganized. You know, here comes Slo-Mo. We need to bring Slo-Mo in. If that is your answer, that is a Band-Aid. That is not a solution. Slo-Mo's fine. He's fine if he's like your 10th or 11th guy or even your 9th guy. But if he is your Band-Aid to organize the offense, there's bigger problems than that for this team. So that's what I hope. I just hope that they have a more solution-based roster than how it is, which is like this hodgepodge thing of like, oh, if this guy is not working, let's throw this guy in and trade him. It's not a real plan. Like, it's not strategy to just cover up stuff by throwing somebody else in the game. I don't like that as a fan. So, all right. So that is it. We got through about an hour. So hopefully, I don't know. Maybe we'll hear some more Zion talk if things get.
We're not gonna. No one's gonna. Yeah, we're not gonna.
I don't know. You never know. You just never know. People may have been listening to this who you did not know was listening. All right. So that is it from here. We will be back hopefully on Thursday to talk about the rest of the two games on this road trip and to kind of preview what is going to be a pretty crazy number of games, especially that Monday game against Boston. Like, that could be like the real truth of the whole thing. It's like, nope, they just came into our home and they just wiped the floor with us. We're not, you know, this is the
team. Yeah, Bontemps can be like, told you so.
All right. For Brian, I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace. Out.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.